we bless you from the house of the Lord. That is Psalm 118, verse 26. And I am Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to introduce our teaching pastor. Oh, Running for Christ Ministries is a church of teaching, learning, and doing. And I'm always talking about eating spiritual food to nourish our inner men. But looking intently into the Word also heals our physical bodies and renews our minds. So let's listen with ears to hear Pastor O deliver our sermon titled, Called According to God's Purpose, Romans 8:28. So turn real quick in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 8, verse 28, one verse. If you know it, say it with me. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Amen.
Amen.
So let's listen with open hearts to our teaching pastor's message titled, Called According to God's Purpose. So church, repeat after me. Pastor O,
break it down for
us. Amen. Thank you, Deaconess Rebecca. I appreciate you. Amen. How's everybody doing this morning?
Fine.
Amen. I know it's crowded in here, but I can still hear you. Yeah, we got some calls yesterday saying it's going to be hot, Pastor. I might not make it. I'm like, oh, so you ain't going to work all next week? Amen. Ain't it funny how we'll do God but we won't do the world like that?
Right.
And we'll suffer it for them, but we won't suffer it for him. Amen. But that's all right. Amen. The Lord knows. So let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for giving us this opportunity to come into your house and to worship you and to praise along with our brothers and sisters and offer up to you some hallelujahs and some thank you Jesuses and just praise your name because you are worthy of all the praise that we can muster up. So we thank you, Father, that you bless us to be here. Now bless us because we need a word from you so that we can sustain ourselves in this world where Satan runs everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. We got to pray for our country because we done found ourselves in a war. Amen. Yeah, now we're over here fighting with. We done got involved in an age-old battle between Israel and their foes. And that's been going on since Israel been out of Egypt. Amen. So, hey, and now we're into it. So pray for the soldiers. Pray for those who are in charge. Because they're getting ready to deal with a foe like they ain't never dealt with before. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless these ears.
Lord, bless these ears.
So they hear your word today.
So they hear your word today.
And bless this heart.
And bless this heart.
So it receives your word today.
Lord, receive your word.
Because I acknowledge to you,
that
Poopa is in the house. That, that are my ways and my thoughts. I'm not like you.
Not like you.
But I'm here to change the way I think. According to your word. Thank you. Amen. 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 God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is something that we have to test. Amen. That you might be able to test to see if this is God's pleasing, good, and pleasing, and perfect will for you. So you can test and approve if God said that or not. Amen?
Amen?
Now last week we talked about be perfect. That scared us, didn't it?
Yes.
Be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And we was like, oh well, church over, I'm going. Amen? Because that's not happening. But what we found out is that we spend our lives trying to be like him. And so we talked about what he is like and what is he like. He's holy. He's filled with justice and righteousness, loving kindness and mercy. Amen. And all of this is undergirded by what? Love. Amen. So that is what we spend our life doing. That is the work that Jesus is doing on us. He's helping us to become more Christ-like and less like what we're like. Amen? Without Christ, but more Christ-like. And so the rest of our lives, from now to the end, till he comes back to get us, or he comes back to get the church, amen? That is what we'll be doing. We'll be becoming more and more like him. But how many know when Jesus was here, he didn't have it easy? Number one, he grew up on the poor side of town. I mean, the really poor side of town. Del Rey would be Hollywood compared to where Jesus grew up. Jesus grew up in a place called Nazareth. And soon as when somebody mentioned Nazareth, even one of his disciples, when they went to get Nathaniel, Philip saying, "We found Jesus from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Amen. So that's where Jesus grew up. And then Jesus grew up, his mother wasn't rich, his father wasn't rich. They didn't have a whole lot of means, because when they went to the temple to make the offering, as the Bible says, redeeming your firstborn, right? They chose what? Two doves or two pigeons. That was for the poor folks to have. That was the offering. So God fixed it where anybody would have enough to give him something. Amen. If they couldn't give him a whole lot, then he would accept two pigeons. But if you could give a goat, then you don't need the two pigeons, right? Amen. Amen. So Jesus grew up in a real tough time. Now, we know his life from the beginning all the way to his ascension. And we know that a lot of things happened in his life. But you know something? I've read a million times, well, not a million, but I've read the Bible a lot of times, and I've read about Jesus. I even wrote a book and went over his life with a fine-tooth comb. He never once complained about the situation he found himself in. He was out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He never once questioned God about, why am I out here in this wilderness? You know what Jesus understood and what we should understand, what he exampled for us that we should understand, is that all things truly work together for the good. Or better yet, God causes all things to work together for the good. Excuse me. That is not to say that everything we go through is good. But what it's saying is God's going to make it work out for you. Amen. Remember the word that we used when we were studying Christian doctrine to understand where everything came from? We were going through the seven proofs or seven arguments in favor of the existence of God. Of course, we dealt with the first being the proof that there is a belief in God, even with the atheist. And there's also, the next one was the cosmological argument, the argument from cause. Amen? We understand, as Hebrews tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it becomes the evidence of things not seen. We understand that everything we see was not made by anything we can see. Amen? But we believe God did. God caused the sun to shine. God caused the moon to come out at night. God caused some stars to stay fixed so we can navigate our way around this planet. God caused some stars to move. God caused some stars to exist and then fall out of existence. But God is the cause behind all of it. And everything works together. For instance, if you take the plankton out of the seas, if we somehow manage to destroy all plankton in the sea, well, guess what? All the rest of life is going to crash. Because that was first, and everything else built off that. Amen? So when that disappears, and that's going to happen during the tribulation period. One thing after another is going to disappear, and then God's going to turn to see the blood. That's going to kill the plankton. There's no more food, no more water. That's going to change the climate drastically. Amen. But again, God is the cause of all those things. So when the Bible says God causes all things to work together for our good, and we look at the cataclysmic start that this world had in the beginning, amen, we can see when God said, let there be light, now we know he said, let there be light. Why? Because he knew he was going to create vegetation. And have y'all been to school, right? You know what photosynthesis is, right? Photosynthesis is what all plants love, and that is what? The sun. The sun causes them to do what they do. The blades on a plant, they act like, they're just like receptors, and that's all they are. When the sun comes out, the blades on that plant feels the sun, senses the temperature of the sun, and then it sends a signal to the root system. Does the plant need to transpire? The root system will send up water and the grass will wet itself. It's transpiration. It means that's how it evaporates heat from itself to keep itself alive. Okay? If it's hot and muggy like it is today, that will cause the plant to send up water and chlorophyll to keep the plants green and to keep them sustained during this hot weather. Okay? Plants, just like we are, they stress out. If you don't water your lawn and it turns brown, it didn't die. It saved itself. It committed suicide. The whole top of the plant died off, and the roots stayed alive and just become dormant. Amen? But that's because that's a problem that comes from what's called heat stress. And so, amen? But the plant does that to save itself. So in the same way, no matter what happens to us, no matter what we go through, God causes it to work for our good. A lot of us got it in our heads that the devil can do anything he wants to us, anytime he wants to. No, he can't. And anything God allows the devil to do to us, or anything we do to ourselves, whatever it is, wherever the problem came from, God's going to use it to make you better, to make you stronger, to bring you closer to him and further away from where you were. Amen?
Amen.
So he causes all things to work together for the good. Now, we know that God caused Noah to be able to build the boat. Amen? God caused a flood to take out all the people who didn't want to follow him. Amen? And then God caused the dry land to reappear. Amen? And then God caused Noah. All of that happened for the good. Amen? For our good. Everything that happened in Abraham's life, get up from among your kindred and acquaintance and go to a place that I'll show you. Amen? If he had stayed there, it wouldn't have worked out for him. But since he got up and started going to that place, then he started hearing the Lord along the way. Now, how many of y'all know it had to be some hard times along the way? We don't read about it. It's not written into the Bible. But whenever you get ready to go somewhere, you're going to go through something. So we have to know that everything Abraham went through, amen, was for whose good? Our good. God caused all of the catastrophes that happened in his life to work out for our good. Let me give you a good example. And somebody who even said that, Joseph, amen, Jacob's son, Joseph. Now, we know what happened to Joseph. You know what it was like growing up in his family, Leah, Rachel, all these kids. He got 10 brothers that hate him, amen. And Joseph went through it. His brothers didn't like him because his father favored him. Well, the father favored him because Reuben slept with Jacob's handmaid, Bila. Amen. And you know, Simon and Levi, they were the ones who orchestrated that deal with using the circumcision to make the men in Shechem sick so he could go in and kill them. So Jacob didn't have a whole lot of love for Leah's kids, okay? And so he favored Joseph, even gave him a coat of many colors, but what did that do? Made his brothers jealous. Now, don't miss this. Jacob favored his son, and what did that do? Caused his brothers to hate him. Gave him a coat of many colors and elevated him over them, even though he was the last born before Benjamin, right? But he elevated him over them. So God caused Joseph to rise up over them. And God knew that that was going to create hatred in them, envy in them, jealousy in them. Amen? And it did just that. They hated their brother. And when their father sent them out to be with the sheep and to take them to pasture, here comes Joseph looking for them, because Jacob has sent them to look for them, but they snuck off in hopes that Joseph wouldn't yet be able to find them and snitch them out, because they felt like Joseph was going to run, tell daddy everything. And so they hated him. But God caused them, right, to hate him. How? Jacob caused them to hate him how? Coat of many colors, you my favorite son, the weak wife, her children ain't nothing but trouble to me. Amen. They've been trouble ever since they've been here. So he loved Rachel, so he loved Joseph. But that created an envy and jealousy in them like never before. They hated him so much that when they saw him coming, they said, look, here comes that dreamer. Because he even had dreams where they had to bow down to him. Okay, and his mother and father had to bow down to him. So they hated him even more. But who gave them the dreams that caused them to hate him even more? God did. Amen? God is causing things to happen. He needs Joseph to go down to Egypt, but Joseph is not even thinking about going down to Egypt. That's not even on his mind. That's not his plan. His plan is to come see what his brothers are doing, go back and tell his father. But he doesn't know that God's going to cause some things. They're not going to be pleasant things. So when they see his brother coming, what do? They say, here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him. Let's get rid of him. Here's what we'll do. We'll kill him. We'll take one of these lambs, put the blood on his coat, take it home to daddy and say, a lion must have got him on the road. We was coming back to the crib and we was like, ain't that Joseph coat of many colors? Oh, it looked like a lion. They actually went back and told their father that, who they know waited a long time to get Joseph. And of course, this just crushed him so much so that Judah had to leave the camp. And that's chapter 38. That's like a departure from all the rest of it. But it just keeps the story going. Amen? So when they see Joseph coming, they take Joseph. And they say, well, let's kill him. But then Reuben says, you can't have the blood of my brother on our hands. So they decided to throw him into a pit, an empty cistern, an empty well, a dried out well, and just leave him there until they figure out what to do with him. And so now, but God needs Joseph to go where? So God needs to do some more calls, and don't. Because the pit ain't Egypt, is it? You might be in the pit right now, but don't worry about being in the pit right now, because God still got some things to call. And when God get through, you're not through. You're not in heaven yet, so you are not through. You are where you are right now, and it might not be a pleasant place, like the pit was not a pleasant place, but God has a bigger plan than the pit. You won't stay there. You won't stay in the mess that you're in right now, because God has a bigger plan. Whether you caused the mess, or whether your brothers got jealous and they caused the mess, or somebody around you caused the mess. Amen. It doesn't matter. God's got a bigger plan for you than leaving you where you are. This is just a stepping stone to where you're going. Amen. So all of a sudden, they see the Ishmaelites, traitors, headed down to where? Egypt. And then somebody comes up with the genius plan, I know what we can do, and we can get paid out this deal. Let's sell him into slavery. That way, his blood won't be on our hands. Amen. And so that is exactly what they did. They took him and sold him to their cousins, the Ishmaelites, because they descended from who? Ishmael. And so they sell Joseph into slavery, and the Ishmaelites, guess where they take him to sell him? Down to Egypt, right where God wants him to go. Now, Joseph just thinks his life is a turmoil. Joseph just thinks his life is a mess. Joseph thinks his life is going nowhere. It's over. It's a wrap for me. I'd have been sold into slavery by my own brothers, me as kids. Amen. And so Joseph now finds himself down in Egypt. But God needs Joseph to become prime minister of Egypt. So he needs to do some more causing. And guess what God calls to happen? He calls the attorney general of the land, the top cop named Potiphar, to bind Joseph and to take him into his home. And so he takes Joseph home into his house. Joseph is still a slave, but God is blessing him in the place where he is. Why? Because God needs Joseph to go where? To become prime minister. He needs to go to the throne. So God got to cause some more things to happen. Joseph works on his job like he's working for God. He doesn't work like he's working for Potiphar. He's working like he's working for God. Like Jesus said, work like you work for him rather than for your employers. And don't you know that there is an inheritance that comes along with that? So Joseph is in Potiphar's house and he's doing an excellent job. And he's, what, maybe 17 years old at this time. He's kind of pumped up because they do hard work and they didn't wear shirts a lot. And here comes Pharaoh's wife. She sees Joseph. Amen. Amen. And she likes Joseph. She wants to date Joseph. She wants to be with Joseph. Okay? And so what happens? She starts to get with Joseph. She figured he ain't been with nobody. I'm an Egyptian woman. We wear sheer curtains for clothes. And he got to be looking at me the way I'm looking at him. But then Joseph might have been looking at her the way she was looking at him. Amen. And evidence that he might have been looking at her like that is when she said, look, come lie with me. Joseph said, I can't do that. He didn't say he couldn't do it at first because of his God. He said, I can't do that because of Potiphar and how he treats me and how he's elevated me and my God. And so he scorned her. He turned her down. But hell hath no fury like what? A woman scorned. So she got mad, and guess what she did to the old boy? He tried to rape me. Brought him up on false charges. Amen. But Joseph needs more training. Joseph needs to be hardened. Joseph needs to learn how to administrate and run things. Yes, he's running Potiphar's house, but those are what? Good times. Everything's running well. He's the top steward in Pharaoh's house. Potiphar even said, I don't even know what I have in my house. If I want to know, I need to ask Joseph. He trusted him that much. Okay? But now Joseph needs a different type of training. Why? Because he's going somewhere. Amen? So God causes the wife, amen, or allows the wife to see Joseph, accuse him of rape, and then Potiphar, even though he's the top cop, the attorney general, he has to do something because all of Egypt knows about this. Potiphar has to do something, and so he has Joseph sent to jail, but at his pleasure. Joseph soon gets blessed in jail, and now he's the warden of the jail. He was spent 13 years there. Okay, in the 11th of those 13 years, two people got bounced into jail from Pharaoh's court. And they just happened to be under Joseph's care. Amen? And so Joseph, now don't miss this, no matter what's going on in Joseph's life, he loves God. And even though he's going through it, even though life is not like he wants it, even though life is a horror to him, he's faithful to God. And he's working in the jail like he's working for Jesus. Amen? And so he receives his inheritance. Why? Because the cupbearer and the baker get bounced into jail. Some say they had been accused of stealing some jewelry from Pharaoh. Okay? Now they come to jail. Both of these men have a dream. Joseph can't interpret dreams, but he tells them when they ask him, I can't interpret dreams, but God can. Now, remember, God's causing things to happen. So now they're in jail, they got dreams, right? They can't interpret their dream. They hear that Joseph can, so they ask him to do it. And Joseph interprets both their dreams. He tells the cupbearer, you're going to get your job back. Okay? But he tells the baker, you might not want to hear the answer to your dream because you're going to get your head chopped. Well, you're going to get hung. Okay? And that's exactly what happened. Now, Joseph had said to them, look, when you get back up there where Pharaoh is and where Potiphar is and where big people are, remember me. Well, 2 years go by, they didn't remember him. So God causes another problem to happen. Pharaoh has a dream. Amen. Now, Pharaoh has a dream about the 7 cows, amen, and about the 7 years, famine, no famine. He don't know what it means. But guess what? Now that everybody's life has been threatened by Pharaoh, if they can't interpret his dream, the cupbearer suddenly remembers, oh yeah, there's a man who was in jail who interpreted both our dreams, and he reveals Pharaoh's hand in the issue. So they called Joseph up. Imagine this, you're Joseph. You've been sold into slavery. You come out of a pit, sold into slavery, bought by Potiphar, accused of rape, thrown into jail for 13 years, and all of a sudden, a bunch of guards rush in and start washing you up, start putting new clothes on you, because now you're going up in front of Pharaoh. But Joseph has a problem. Everybody bows to Pharaoh, Ra, amen, man on earth as God, right? So they all bow, but Joseph don't. He can only bow to God. Pharaoh lets him get away with that, reveals his dreams to Joseph, and Joseph says, was there another dream? Pharaoh says, yes. Nobody told Joseph it was two, just one. Amen. One was the corn and one was the cows. The good ears of corn ate up the bad ears. The bad ears of corn ate up the good ears, and the bad cows ate up the fat cows. But didn't get any fatter. So that was the dream. Pharaoh didn't understand it. And now here's Joseph, who's been given the ability to interpret dreams by God. God's causing stuff to happen. Why? Because Joseph needed to become prime minister. Amen? So God causes Joseph to be able to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. And then Pharaoh asks this question. Who should I set over this work that Joseph had described to me? Joseph told him, look, in the 7 bad years, save up. In the 7 good years, you good to go, right? 7 good years, save up. 7 bad years, you got what you had from the good year. And that's a message to us, y'all. Don't spend everything you get like ain't no tomorrow coming. Learn how to save. Learn how to save. Learn how to be a good manager of your money, amen, and don't just get money to satisfy yourself. Get money to do what you're supposed to do first, amen, and bills are first, right? Amen. And if you don't have nothing left after the bills to go hang out like wet clothes, don't take bill money and go hang out like wet clothes. Because if you do, you're going to increase your prayer life. Amen.
Amen.
You take your money that's to pay bills and you go out and hang out with it. And then now the bills are due. You done did everything. You done bought your wants and now you begging your needs. Amen. Amen. So Joseph said, hey, Pharaoh, here's what you do. It's going to be 7 good years. Save as much as you can. Save back a fifth from all the people of everything that's brought to you. And then Pharaoh, Joseph said, okay, it's going to be 7 bad years. When the 7 bad years come, what you saved up in the good years will help you out in the bad years. Okay? And now Joseph has become prime minister. Amen? I told you all that to tell you this. There's another part to God causes all things to work together. And that's the part that we don't read. That's the part that we don't. We get on this part. God causes all things to work together. Amen. For the good of those who what? Love God. What does it mean to love God? We just talked about Joseph. No matter what he went through, it didn't change his relationship with God. He was like Job loved God. And the Bible says that in all this, Job did not charge God with foolishness, amen, or curse him because he went through some hard times, amen. So Joseph has now become prime minister of Egypt, and there's a famine in the land, and his brothers have to come down there to get food for their family so that they can survive, amen. When we say God causes all things to work together for the good, don't miss this part of those that love him. What does it mean to love God? Jesus made it real simple. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Those who love me do what I say. Jesus said, the words I speak are not mine, they're my Father's. Amen. The work I do, it's not me doing, it's my Father working through me. Wherever the Father is, there is the Son also. I always do those things that please my Father. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, in verse 7, if we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. But whether we are absent from the body, present with the Lord, wherever we are, we make it our goal to do what? To please him. See, when you're going through all these kinds of things, but your love for God is not where it should be, then all things are not working together for your good. God always makes stipulations. He always asks us to do something that we can do. If we want all things to work together for our good, then we have to love God. And loving God means keeping his commandments. And what are God's commandments? Amen. Love ye one another as I have loved you. As often as you have opportunity, do good unto all. Amen. Especially those in the household of faith, right? So that's what it means to love God. To love God means to be like God. To treat people like God treats people. To be in God's will. To be doing what God says. Do you love God if you never read the Bible? Do you love God if you hear everything he say but don't do none of it? See, so we like to believe all things work together for our good, but all things work together for the good of those who what? It doesn't just say it works together for the good if you're a Christian. It doesn't say it works together for the good if you go to church. It doesn't say it works together for the good if you get tithes and offerings. It says if you love God, and loving God means doing what God said. Loving God means living the way God wants you to live 24/7, 365. Now, how do we demonstrate that we love God when we don't do what God tells us to do? 1 John 1:9. If we love him, we do what? Confess our sins, and God is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm not saying that Joseph was perfect, but he came to understand God, amen, and how God, at the end of his story, Joseph said this to his brothers, because their daddy died, and he figured once daddy died, I'm killing all y'all. That's what they thought. And so when his father died, they all came to Joseph and started making up these stories of what Jacob might have wanted to keep him from killing them, because they knew they were guilty. They knew they did him wrong. They knew they sold him into slavery. But listen to me, Joseph said to them, what you did to me, you meant evil. But God meant good, that many lives might be saved as it is today. So all of that happened now, and all of that, just like Job, Joseph did not curse God. His love for God stayed right where it was when he got thrown in the pit, got sold into slavery, had to go to work in Potiphar's house to get accused of rape, got thrown into jail, and then Johnny come lately up before Pharaoh. No matter what happened in his life, he understood that God is in this. No matter what happened in Job's life, he understood God's in this. But we're talking about two people who the Lord said loved him. Can God say that you love him? Amen. Can God say, Mary loves me? Amen. That's what we want, church. We want God to say, I love you. Amen. Now we know God loves us. Amen. But can God say to Jesus, Rebecca loves me? Or would God be telling a lie? Amen. Because we have to, all things work together for the good of those who what? So the next time you hear somebody say all things work together for the good, remember it works together for the good of those who love God and who live and are called according to his purpose. Are you living out God's purpose for your life? Do you even know what God's purpose for your life is? When I was back in the day when I wasn't saved, back in the early 70s or 74, coming up to summer of 75, amen, I did not know where I came from. I didn't know what I was doing here. And I didn't know where I was going when I left. It wasn't until I met Jesus that I got to answer all three of those questions. I could not believe that God sent me into this world to be a preacher. I thought I was sent into this world for a whole bunch of other reasons, but not preaching. And then I couldn't believe that God sent me into this world to become a pastor. Not just a pastor, but one who actually organized and founds a church. And when I look back over my whole life and all the ups and downs and ins and outs, all of that was to end me up right where I am now. And that makes me excited about the rest of my life. Amen? Because if God knew this and I didn't, Aaron, then what else does God know about me? What else does God know about you? You're not dead, so you're not at the end. You're not in heaven, so God still knows something about you. The other day, the Lord told me, things are going to change in your life.
Yeah.
Things are going to really change, you know, and it's amazing. Joel Osteen says, and I'm going to quit with this. Joel Osteen said all the time, your whole life could be whatever it is. And then you meet this person, okay, or you go to this place. And then after that, your whole life changed.
Amen.
Just like it did for Joseph. Joseph met Potiphar. Joseph met Pharaoh. His whole life changed. Amen. The right person, right place, right time. God causes everything to work together for the good of those who what? And are called what? Lord God, our Father, we thank you for giving us purpose. And we thank you for calling us. You called us out from the darkness into the marvelous light. And you didn't just call us out from the darkness into the light just so we could sit around in the light. But you called us just like you did Joseph. And everything that happened in Joseph's life was to prepare him for the life that you had called him to, for the purpose that you had for him. So help us to see, Father, that every little bitty thing that happens in our life is you preparing us for a work that you purposed in us to do before we were even born.
Amen.
You said about Jeremiah, before your mother and father even formed you in the womb, I knew you. I separated you,
Amen.
Set you apart from my service, and I ordained you to be. Help us, Heavenly Father, to know that you're not a respecter of persons,
Amen.
But just as you did it for them, you're letting us see and know that you're doing the same thing with us. Just because we're not in the Bible does not mean we won't do what those folks did for you in the Bible. They're gone, they're with you, they're in heaven, we're here. So help us, Father, to walk in the purpose that you called us to walk in. And then, Father, help us to understand that if we love you, all things, every single thing, you're going to cause to work out for our good.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, we pray and give you thanks and honor and glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.